Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The thought we have for today is one simple phrase. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. I'm used to addressing Jesus as my Lord. Philippians chapter 2, where Paul gives the confession of the early church. He prays that all tongues shall confess Jesus is Lord. Paul writes again in 1 Corinthians 12, no one can confess Jesus as Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Yes, this is most certainly true for all of us who hear, especially the guests and visitors here. I confess this too. I confess Jesus as God when I go to the confessions and I confess the Nicene Creed. Very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. But from my heart and from my mind, through my tongue, come the usual confession, Jesus is Lord. The text that was read for us, by the way, translation by our graduate Professor James Wells, gives us the context of the way I am leading our meditation this morning. There are opinions about Jesus already way at the beginning, through his public ministry, his own people, Jewish people who knew the Old Testament, having seen and heard what Jesus was doing and preaching, doubted. They didn't see God at work there. Many thought, is this not Eden for reading that? The son of a carpenter? Are not his brothers and sisters? And he names them, they name them with us. Where is this wisdom all about working in him? And the mighty deeds he performs, how are these things happening? They doubted. They did not know who he really was. Doubt, as people confront Jesus, is a common phenomenon throughout our world. Doubt about ourselves, doubt about what God is speaking to us, even through his very Son, Jesus Christ, doubt about the conviction that he brings into our hearts and minds, calling us to repentance. Doubt dominates our daily living. Doubting God is a major concern for God as well as for us human beings on this side of heaven. But the Gospels, the text that God has appointed for us to read and ponder, call us to confidence, faith in God. Faith in God and believe him because of what he has said and written for us and for our salvation in his scriptures. If you don't believe these words, believe him for what God accomplished in Jesus Christ by performing the mighty acts of God, demonstrating before the people the reign and rule of God. This is God's activity taking among us and through us into the world for the sake of our salvation. There are opinions about Jesus, not only among the Jewish people, but also throughout the world, even among us Christians, sadly. If George Bana is right, I hope he is wrong, 35% of American Christian youth think that Jesus may have sinned. Of course he got mad. He was not happy with the administration, the authorities, and he was a rebel, and he was actually acting out his emotions. So by accident, maybe intentionally, if he sinned once or twice, it doesn't matter. Who guards the God? Who needs the God who is a sinner who came to save sinners? He is very God, begotten, not made. So we ponder, Jesus is God. How does he prove, demonstrate that he is God? Because he has the authority to forgive sins. Mark chapter 2. The paralytic was led down by the people, assuming that Jesus is a miracle worker. He had authority to heal the sick. But before he performs that mighty act, he comes up and tells this person, your sins are forgiven because, and for the sake of the people who are looking around and looking at him, that they may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, he then performs the miracle. People come to him, to Jesus, for seeing the miracles that he performs. People come to him for the great speeches he makes. And most people miss the point that Jesus came to the world to save sinners. And he commissions his disciples to go into the world and do the same as he did. And in fact, in the same text, he says he gives them authority to perform the things that God himself was doing. Jesus is God. He is my God and your God. The place I grew up and where I was formed has many different opinions about Jesus. They acknowledge him as the leader of the Indian Renaissance, if you can believe that. The greatest of the gurus, and some even have called him the crucified guru. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Few would like to call him and acknowledge him as God. Opposition continues throughout our world. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed as Jesus as the savior from sin and he is God, opposition persists. Saint Paul and his companions go out and preach the good news to the people around. In Acts 14, when Paul and Barnabas goes to Lystra, they preach Jesus Christ and they even perform miracles. And some people thought that these two men are gods. People think men are gods, women are gods. There are divas all over the world. But only God forgives our sins. That's the thought we hold to our mind. People call him Jesus, people call him guru, people call him a leader. Ultimately, the final confession that Christians born of God make of Jesus is that he is God. All tongues shall confess Jesus is Lord. And to have this confession come from our heart, we need to have the full picture of Jesus, not as a miracle worker only, not as a teacher of the truth, not as the wisdom of God, but as the one who died and rose from the dead. And Thomas saw that. After Jesus rose from the dead, the doubting Thomas saw Jesus and he said, "Behold, my Lord and my God." Mark's gospel began with the statement that this is the gospel of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Toward the end of the gospel, Mark gives us a testimony of the centurion who saw Jesus hanging on a cross and dying, who also confessed, "This is the Son of God." We have the testimony of scriptures. We have the faith of the church. we have the Holy Spirit working in our hearts to always confess Jesus as our Lord and our God. God grant us this presence of mind, this wisdom from above, and this direction we may confess Jesus is God before God and before people. God grant this for Christ's sake. Amen.